If you will, and let's go to Philippians. Philippians chapter 1. All right, let's stand, if you will, please, out of reference for God's Word. We're going to read through verses 3 through 5. I'll be reading from the King James tonight. I understand that y'all, what are y'all, ESV or
New King James?
New King James, okay, so we'll be using the King James, but which is pretty close. All right, let's read God's Word tonight from Philippians chapter 1. It says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Let's pray together, maybe. I pray now, Father, that you would bless the reading of your word. Father, I'm very thankful for the friendship that you have given Andy and I and his family. Now, Father, I pray that you would bless the reading of your word, but more so, Father, I pray now that you would bless the teaching and preaching of your word. Father, it is your word that will not return back void or empty. And Father, I pray that you would use me. I pray, Father, that you would help me to stay as close to the text as humanly possible. Help me, Father, not to preach my word, but to preach your word. And Father, may I be enjoyable to listen to. And Father, may our hearts and our minds be open to the teaching and sanctification through thy word. In the mighty name of Jesus we pray, amen. All right, be seated if you would. I want to talk to you tonight about what does a mature or grown-up Christian look like. You know, as people see us out in the world, they see us living out the gospel. Living out the gospel that we believe in the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We live out the gospel each and every day. But how do we do that? Number one, we've got to do it through the power of the Holy Spirit. But then we have to act like we are grown-up Christians. We have to look like we are grown-up Christians. So as we look at these verses tonight, I want us to look at what does a mature Christian look like. How many of you have ever been around a believer that you say by their actions, boy, that person has got a lot of growing up to do in their Christian walk? Yeah. In fact, I look at myself sometimes and many times and say, boy, I need to grow up in that area. But as we look at these areas tonight, may we grow in these areas as well. The first area is this. Let's look at verse 3. Now, I'm going to be asking you to use your Bibles a lot tonight, okay? So keep them open, because we're going to be going to a lot of Scripture tonight, okay? The first one is this. In verse 3, it says, what's that next word?
Thank.
I thank my God for remembrance of you. So the first thing, first mark, first indication that you are a mature Christian is this. You are a Christian. You are a person that is thankful. You're thankful. Let me ask you a question. What are you thankful for? I'm going to give you three real quick. Number one, are you thankful for the love of God? Are you thankful for that tonight? Are you thankful that God loves you, that He loved you enough to send His Son to die for you? You know, the world, the ones that hate God, that deny God, they try to make God out to be this mean old creature that sits on a throne, that's got a long beard, long hair, has an hourglass in his hand that you would see on a Far Side comic, and try to make God out to be a hateful creature that hates all of mankind, but He doesn't. He loves us. He loves man. He loves His creatures. He loves us. He loved us so much that He gave us His Son. So are you thankful for the love of God tonight? Secondly, are you thankful for the sacrifice of Jesus? What do we call that? We call it the gospel. You know, Andy, I am surprised how many people that profess to be Christians not even know what the gospel is. Hopefully my people could say what the gospel is, because I quiz them on it often. that the gospel is, what, Lighthouse people, what's number one? The death, what's number two? Burial, and what's number three? Resurrection. It's not saying a prayer. It's not saying a prayer and asking Jesus into your heart. You know, Andy, many times I have been told that. What is the gospel? Well, ask Jesus into my heart. No, 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 no. No. It's the gospel and trusting the finished work of Jesus Christ. The gospel. Are you thankful for the gospel tonight? And thirdly, are you thankful for the fellowship of believers? Are you thankful for that tonight? I am thankful. I wish that I could go to your pastor's luncheons that he has on Thursdays. I really wish I could. But Thursday, Mondays, Thursdays are my busiest days of the week. Do you have a thankful heart? Are you thankful tonight for the love of God? Are you thankful for the sacrifice of Jesus? Are you thankful for the fellowship of believers? I love being around people that love Jesus. I love being around people that love the Lord. I love people that love to talk about this. I love that. Let's go to Psalms 100, if you will. Keep your finger there in Philippians. We'll be going back. But let's go to Psalms chapter 100. The older I get, the more I'm appreciating the Psalms. You know, the Psalms have such... And I even told my people this morning, I said, when you are struggling, go to the Psalms. When you are going through affliction, run to the Psalms. You will find great comfort in the Psalms. Let's go to Psalms 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Read verses 4 and 5. Enter into His courts with, or to His gates with what?
Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving. And into His courts with
praise.
Be what? Thankful unto Him and bless His name. Why? Because He's good. His mercy is what? Everlasting. And how long is His truth going to endure? To all generations. How long is all generations?
Forever.
The Apostle Paul said in Colossians 3:15, "And the peace of our God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful." So let me ask you a question tonight, brothers and sisters in Christ. Are you thankful tonight? When you pray, do you express thanksgiving to God? Do you say, God, I thank You that I am alive today. I thank You that I can walk today. I thank when my son got injured last September 10th, and the Army flew my wife and I and my daughter down to San Antonio, and I saw soldier after soldier after soldier with no legs, wheeling in wheelchairs. I said, thank You, Lord, that I have my legs. Thank You, Lord, that I can walk. You know, I'm 50. I've ran 2 half marathons and a full marathon. There's a lot of people my age that can't hardly walk. But God has given me the ability to run. And I'm thankful for that. I praise His name for that. I'm thankful that I have a wife that is my biggest cheerleader. And that I've got a daughter that says, yay, Dad. And I've got a son that says, go, Pops. I'm thankful for that. But most of all, I'm thankful for Jesus. I'm thankful for the cross. I'm thankful for His death, His burial, and His resurrection. The next thing is this. Let's go to verse 4. Verse 4. It says, always in every, what's that next word?
Prayer.
So the next mark of a mature person is that he or she is a believer, a person of prayer. Of prayer. You know what the average prayer life of the Christian is this? Rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub, yay God. It's about it. There's no talking to God. There's no sharing things with God. When I was at Berea, I taught an adult Sunday school class, and a gentleman by the name of Matt Sitton, very, very dear friend of mine, got killed in Afghanistan. And about a month or so ago, I was talking to his widow, and she said, Dwayne, she said, I'm going to be quite honest with you. I asked her, I should be going to church, or she said, no. She said, I go when it's my nursery Sunday. That's when I go. And she said, Dwayne, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm very mad at God right now. I'm mad. She said, I've not lost my faith in God. I still love God. I'm trying. I said, have you ever told God that? I said, He knows you're mad at Him. He knows it. You need to share that with Him. You need to just say, God, I don't understand it. God, I am mad at you right now. I don't know why you took Matt from me and left me with a son 6 months old, and now he can't know his dad. I don't understand that. I said, pray. Pray and tell God those things. That's what prayer is. Prayer is going to God and begging Him. I said, have you ever read the Psalms and seen how David petitioned to God? Yeah, this morning we read in the Psalms about how David said, I look to my right and there's nobody there. No man cares for my soul. Tell God those things. Pray. How do you pray? Let me list some things of things that you need to pray for daily. Number one, pray for your family. Let me ask you a question. How many of you want people to pray for you? Yeah. I want people to pray for me. I want my wife to pray for me. I want my children to pray for me. I want my church members to pray for me. But pray for your family. Do you pray that your spouse and that your children are saved? I got a shocker last year. I got a shocker. My wife and I were driving down the road. And I'm driving. And she says, Dwayne, I need to tell you something. So what's that? Now, remember, I'm a Baptist here, okay? So, all right. Okay? We do things with water a little bit different than what you guys do, okay? So I'm driving down the road, and she says, Dwayne, I need to tell you something. So what's that? I need for you to baptize me. What? Yeah. Why? I just got converted. You what? Yeah. I just got truly converted. She said, I was trusting the prayer. I was trusting that I asked Jesus into my heart that I was doing the right things and not trusting the finished work of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. If there's anybody in my household that I thought was truly converted besides me, was my wife. I truly thought that she was true. I never doubted that my wife was truly converted. There was never a day that I did not doubt that. There was never a day where I said, Sean, you need to check your salvation. There was never a day that I did that. But she told me, she said, I just now truly got converted. And I realized what the true gospel of Jesus Christ is all about. Folks, never take the salvation of your family members for granted. Even after they confess to know Jesus, still pray for it. Pray that it'll be sealed. Not only pray for their salvation, but also pray for their sanctification. Pray that they will grow in their walk with the Lord. Pray that they will grow in their sanctification. I like, Andy, what you're doing here with the catechisms and how you're doing that. I believe that helps in their growth and sanctification. So not only pray for your family, pray for your friends. And you know how to pray for your friends? The same way you pray for your family. Pray for their salvation. And pray for their sanctification. I have friends that I know are lost. They're not born again. They're not truly converted. So I'm praying for their salvation. And those that are, I pray for their sanctification. I have a dear, dear friend of mine. I grew up with this man from birth. In fact, his grandmother and my grandmother grew up together. My mother and his mother grew up together, and he and I grew up together. He was in my wedding. He's not converted. He's trusting the fact. He was in the Armenian church growing up. Trusting the fact, he said the prayer. I've talked to him. Discuss those things. Do you have friends that are lost? Do you have co-workers that are lost? Next, pray for your church. Pray for your church. Pray for your pastor. Pray for his family. And you know what? Not only pray for your pastor and his family, do something extra. You may do this, but I'm just encouraging you to keep doing it if you're already doing it. Write them notes of encouragement. Send them notes of encouragement. Send them emails of encouragement. Lord knows we get enough discouraging notes, discouraging emails, disgruntled church members. You know, I was at a church in Moorhead City preaching, I guess it was back in 04, 05. Time frame. No, it was even before that. It was around 02, 03 time frame. And I gave that sort of exhortation to that church. And I said, if you have never done this, then do this for your pastor. Number one, pray for him. And number two, write him and his wife a note of encouragement this week. And his wife sat there and wept. And she came to me after church. She said, Dwayne, she said, we've been here for, I think she said 2 years, if not three. And she said, I have never had any of my church members give me a word of encouragement, much less give me a note of encouragement. I think one of the most lonely places outside of being a pastor is being a pastor's wife. They struggle just like the pastor does. Your church. Next, your nation. Boy, our nation needs prayer, doesn't it? It needs prayer. We not only need to pray for our leaders, we need to pray that God will raise up leaders. And that these leaders will lead according to this. And according to our Constitution. And according to our Bill of Rights. Not by their own personal left-handed, left-winged agenda. But pray for your nation. Pray for your missionaries. Pray for your missionaries. And lastly, pray for your needs. Pray for your needs. Who's first on that list? Your family? Your family, your friends, your church, your nation, your missionaries? Who's last?
Yourself.
Yourself. We live in such a me society. I've had so many people visit Lighthouse Baptist Church or they visited Berean Baptist Church, and when I follow up on them, their first question is this: what does your church have to offer me? What can your church offer me? What can your church offer my family? Well, I can't offer you that. But what I would like for you to do is to come and be a part of something small that we can build up to that. Well, no, I want to go somewhere where they've already got it so I can sit in the back and reap all the benefits and not be a part of building something. Because building something might take the C word of commitment and the D word of dedication and the F word of faithfulness and the W word of W-O-R-K, of work. Might take some dedication and faithfulness and work and prayer and supporting your pastor. I'm thankful for my church members tonight that we're taking this Sunday night off that said, hey, I just want to go and be an encouragement to my pastor. Amen. And by coming here tonight, they could have easily stayed home. But by them following, you know, coming here tonight is an encouragement to me. Christ said, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Paul said in Romans 1:9, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing, stopping, I make mention of you always in my prayers. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Pray without stopping. Praying, praying, praying. Thirdly, let's go back to verse 4. Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with, what's that next word? Joy. So what's the next mark? Being a person of, somebody said it, joy. Being happy. Being a joyful Christian. Being a happy Christian. Being a Christian that smiles. That laughs. That not only laughs at circumstances, but laughs at themselves. But laughs. But you know what the world looks at? The world looks for joy in, number one, the culture. They're looking for joy in culture. They're looking to find joy in alcohol. They're looking to find joy in drugs. They're looking to find joy in sex. They're looking to find joy in friends. They're looking to find joy in all those things, but all those things, each and every one of them, will fail them. They don't last. The other day I saw where Robin Williams is back in rehab. Now here's a guy who makes a living out of making people laugh. Trying to anyway. Evidently, he's not finding much joy himself. Because he's having to put himself back into rehab. Joy in culture. You know, the next thing is, sad to say, they're trying to find joy in religion. How are they trying to find joy in religion? The prosperity gospel. Trying to find joy in the teaching. I'm not even going to dignify this guy of saying that he's preaching. Why do people flock to hear Joel Osteen, Joyce Meyer, Creflo Dollar, those charlatans? Why do they flock? Because that teaching appeals to their flesh, not their spirit. The joy of religion. But where do we find our joy? Nehemiah said it best. He said that he said unto them in Nehemiah chapter 8, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry. Where did he find their joy? For the joy of the Lord is your strength. You find your strength in the joy of the Lord. You know, there's going to be days where you're just going to feel spiritually weak. You're going to feel spiritually beat down. You're going to feel spiritually defeated. But where do you find your strength? You find your strength where? In the joy of the Lord. See, our joy is divine. Why? Because we get our joy through the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love. What's the next one? Joy. Our joy does not depend upon circumstances or happiness. Hey, I'm a Chicago Cubs fan. Yeah, okay? There is absolutely no way that I can be joyful during baseball season being a Cubs fan. Okay? It does not depend upon circumstances. It does not depend upon happiness. It springs from our faith. And then the joy of future reward is what makes and keeps us faithful. We see that in Matthew 25. Psalm 32:11, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all you that are upright in heart. And next, lastly, verse 5. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. So the next one, the last one that I'm going to give to you, is a mature, grown-up believer desires godly fellowship. In other words, you desire to be with other Christians. If a person professes to be a believer, but they have no desire to be around God's people, then I got to wonder, are they truly born again? If they have no desire to go to church and to be around God's people, I'm wondering here. Either, number one, you're lost, or number two, you're very, very immature. You're very carnal. What is it that we have in common with each other? Because the source of our fellowship is the great salvation of God that we find in the gospel. No, Andy and I differ on some things. Not very many that I know of. Very, very little. We differ. My wife and I don't agree with on everything. Okay? Okay? We still love each other. Still want to be around each other. She pulled out of my driveway yesterday morning. What time was it? About 8:30, 8:45 or so? Yeah, it was around 8:45. I immediately got sad. I was like, man. And now I'm leaving Wednesday to go be with my son for a week, so it's going to be like almost 15 days that I'm going to be away from her. I don't like it. It ain't right. It ain't normal. You know, so she's my best friend. But you know, when you differ, even believers that differ on some of the minor things, they have the one major thing in common, and that is the gospel. I mean, Andy and I went to the Together for the Gospel conference a couple of years ago. Here is Mark Dever, who is Baptist, Al Mohler, Baptist, Ligon Duncan, as Presbyterian as you can get. And who else? Who else is the other one? C.J. Mahaney. But one thing they have in common, it's the gospel. Salvation of God. And then, a continuous fellowship is a prayer fellowship. Of prayer. Praying together. It's one thing we do at our church on Wednesday nights. Prior to our Bible study is we pray. We share prayer requests. We have a prayer sheet. We go over those things. And we pray together. You know what the apostles did in Acts 2:42, it says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in breaking of bread and in prayers. In Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assemblies of ourselves together as the manner of some is. There's so many churches that are dropping Sunday school. They're dropping this service, this Bible study. They're dropping them. But the writer of Hebrews says, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So what do we need to do to grow up? You know, when I was a kid, I was told many times, Dwayne, grow up. They even told as a young adult, Dwayne, it's time for you to grow up. As a young Christian, I was told, Dwayne, you need to grow up. So what do we need to do to grow up? We need to be thankful. We need to be prayerful. We need to be joyful. We need to be together. It was John Wooden that said this. He said, we can disagree without being disagreeable. So many times we allow the most little minute things that don't matter. The inspiration of Scripture, that's a dead ringer. No, we won't agree. The gospel, that's non-negotiable. The virgin birth, non-negotiable. Okay, we won't even negotiate that. That's something that if you don't believe in, we won't fellowship. Okay, sorry. But things like Bible versions, really? You're not going to associate with me because I use the ESV? You're not going to associate with me because I use the New King James? Really? You're going to make that a mountain to die on. Okay, really? No. Be together. Don't allow Satan to get that one little thing in there to cause us to break fellowship and to be disagreeable. Most church splits happen over things that don't really matter. They really don't. They just don't matter. Let's pray together, maybe. Father, we thank you. We praise you that you are an awesome God, that you are the Creator God. We thank you that we can come here free and without worry. We thank you. We pray to you and ask you to be with us. Help us to be joyful. Help us to be happy Christians. And help us to be together. Have fellowship. Not to allow things that don't really matter to separate us and to break us from friendship and from fellowship. May you bless the rest of the service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.